I was in Tijuana, Mexican's house, doing what we do best. Have fun. Suddenly, my mom arrived. She looked pale, almost as white as paper. She grabbed my arm, told me we're leaving. Emmy is sick, she told me, Dimini. I'm taking Melissa with me. I felt like something else was going on, and I wanted to ask what, but I was scared. She just looked at me and let out a big breath. On our way home, we didn't speak, and for the once, the radio wasn't on either. The silence filled my lungs, and I felt chills run down my spine. When we finally got home, I saw Amy, my brother, and even though his eyes were extremely puffy, I knew he wasn't sick. Something else was going on. Something worse. My mom sat down, leaving space for me to sit next to her. She patted the seat, making a gesture for me to sit down. My brother and my mom just stared at me, both of them speechless. My mom took a big breath, as if she was trying to gain courage. She looked at me and said, Giovanni's in jail, mija. We don't know exactly why or what's going to happen next. She was going to keep going, but she told in her words. The first thing I said was, first my dad, and now my brother too. I started tearing up and I couldn't breathe. My heart was racing. It was beating so fast, I was sure it was going to burst out of my chest. I suddenly felt really cold and dizzy. I needed to escape from this, one way or another. I was about to stand up, but my brother pulled me back down. He grabbed my shoulders and pulled me in for a tight embrace. He let out a big breath and I felt his warm breath on my shoulder. I tried to breathe and think about something else, but I couldn't. My mind was rushing everywhere. How could this be happening to me? When my dad went to jail, I was only 5 years old, so I don't remember much. This means it didn't hurt as much. My mom told me stories about how much I miss him and how I would cry for him. When my dad would leave for work, sometimes for weeks, he would always talk to me on the phone. When my dad was taken away, his calls suddenly stopped. My mom tells me that I would cry for him every day, waiting and begging for him to call me. She says I would suffer so much. I don't remember any of this, though. So, now I'm 17 years old, and not having a dad with me is something that I didn't struggle with. But now getting my brother taken away from my arms was different. I was old enough to remember. I remember the pain I felt in my chest and how it was hard to breathe, and how it was hard to think about something else that wasn't about him. I missed him and his harsh character. He was always the more quiet one and closed off one in our family. He was very different than Emmy and I. This didn't make me love him any less, though. I didn't realize until now that I had taken him for granted. I was going to miss all those days that he would call me his friend and tell me how much he loved me. I want to have him back, at least for one more day, to tell him how much he actually meant to me and how much I love him. And of course, to make fun of his big bald head. We just sat there hugging for what felt for hours. I needed it. I needed to be comforted. I needed someone to tell me it's all a dream. I needed someone to wake me up. Sadly, it wasn't a dream. It was all happening, and I couldn't stop it, fix it, or do anything to feel better. When we stopped hugging, I stared at my mom. She wasn't crying. At the moment, I was confused as to why she wasn't. Her son just went to jail. Wasn't she crying like I am? Why didn't she cry when we were on our way home? She wasn't in any pain. I felt mad and confused. How could she be so selfish? It was now Monday morning, and I woke up at exactly 7 a.m. as always. I got up and did my morning routine and took a nice and hot shower. I felt pressure in my chest, yet I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't do anything to make it go away. After the shower, my mom went in the shower to take one too. I was waiting for her to get out, but it was getting late and I needed to finish doing my hair. So I just went inside the bathroom without knocking. It was then when I heard my mom crying. As soon as she heard me step in, she tried to stop but failed. Her crying sounded muffled as if she had put her hand in her mouth to stop the sounds coming out. I quickly shut the door and walked to the living room. I sat there thinking, holy shit, as in my head as that. I realized why she wasn't crying yesterday. She wasn't crying because she didn't care or because she was in any pain. She just wasn't crying in front of me. She knew I had to stay strong. I lay there and I didn't want to get up. Every single bone in my body hurt. I felt weak and I needed to throw up. I felt my stomach growl, then I felt the food from last night come up. I threw up in my mouth and I ran to the sink and let it all out. As soon as my mom heard me, she ran to me and held my hair back. Mija, are you okay? She asked with her eyebrows raised up in a worry. I looked up at her, forced a smile, trying to make it seem like everything was fine. She didn't back at me. I went to brush my teeth and finished getting ready. We were now in a word school. The ride from home to school was 20 minutes, and for those 20 minutes, our lips didn't slip one word. It was all silent. The radio wasn't playing either. I noticed that the clouds were growing huge. The weather was gloomy. It was like God knew what was going on. Once we were at a school, I stared outside. Everyone looked so happy and normal. I took a big breath, ran to mentally prepare myself for what was coming next. How was I supposed to act like them when everything was wrong? Once I opened the door and stepped out, I looked back at my mom. I didn't even say anything, yet it's like she knew what I was thinking. She forced a smile and took a sigh and said, it's going to be okay, Mika. Breathe and focus on school. So that's what I tried to do. I walked all the way to freshman hall with my head down, trying to ignore everyone passing by me. Once I was inside the classroom, I saw my old best friend, Carlos. He came up to me with a smile, as always. He was always so happy and full of energy. Oh, how I wish that's how I felt that day. But I was the total opposite. Once he came up to me, his smile faded. I guess what was wrong. I remember he had said something about his girlfriend. They were having problems or something like that. All I remember is thinking about how lucky he was. He was sad over his girlfriend, while I was sad because my brother was gone, and God knows for how long. I just smiled at him and told him it was all going to be okay. I wish I could have said the same for me, though. The rest of the day was a blur, and I don't remember a single thing after that. Neither do I remember what happened the day after that or the day after that. I just remember that one day my mom was on the phone with Joanny. Again, my mom wasn't crying. This time, I knew why. She was holding everything back because she needed to be strong for Joanny and I. I remember I sat down carefully listening to her responses, trying to get a hint of what they were talking about. After about 10 minutes of them discussing, my mom tapped on her phone with her index finger, then pointed at me. She was hinting that I should take the phone and talk with my brother, but I didn't get it. I raised my eyebrows in confusion. Melissa, come! Do you want to talk to you? My eyes widened and felt a burning sensation in my chest. I couldn't do this. After a few deep breaths, I stood up and took the phone and raised it to my ear. I opened my mouth, but I didn't know what to say. I felt my throat tighten and my eyes water. I couldn't speak. I grabbed the phone and pushed it to my mom's chest and ran to my room as tears streamed down my face. I laid on my bed and cried my eyes out. I felt like I had a knot in my throat. My heart was pounding and my heart was broken. Again, after the night of crying, I don't remember anything at all. I don't remember the following few days after that. All I remember is going to school and pretending like everything was okay, when in reality, it wasn't. It's like my brain shut down, so I could forget all the painful things going on. This is called a defense mechanism, and it mostly just happens with people that go through a very strong and traumatizing event. And it mostly just happens in teenagers. For me, this was harsh enough to cause trauma, causing my brain to block out certain memories. My brain, or more specifically, my limbic system, recognizes the event as a threat and causes it to go into survival mode. Again, my limbic system couldn't tell the difference between a social or physical threat, so my brain's first instinct was to shut itself down in order to keep me going. It was on a school night, I don't remember that for sure. I know this because my mom woke me up in the middle of the night. Mija, we're going to get you. Do you want to come with us? You have school tomorrow, though. I quickly nodded and put on a jacket, forgetting to put shoes on. Oh my God, okay, Melissa, okay. Oh my God, is this really happening? I thought I should walk to the car. I opened the back door and sat down and buckled the seatbelt. As soon as I sat down, my left leg started bouncing up and down. I was nervous as hell. I might have fallen asleep again because when I opened my eyes, we were finally there. My mom, my brother, my nerd, and I just sat inside the car, waiting for something to happen. We're in a dark parking lot. There were no lights or anything. I looked up and the sky was completely black, no stars at all. Even though I was inside the car, I could tell it was freezing outside. There was a brick fence and a big white door that would let trailers come in from time to time. There were really tall lights like the ones you see in football stadiums all around the inside of the brick fence. I must have fallen asleep again because when I woke up, we were in a different location. This time we were in a parking lot again, but there weren't any lights at all. All I could see was a brick wall and a small police booth with the door closed next to it. Again, I felt like we were waiting for hours until my brother suddenly opened the door and walked up to the police booth. After about half an hour or so, Emmanuel came back with Giovanni walking next to him. Both of them looked exhausted, yet there was something in their eyes that showed happiness. Like after a very long day of being in Disneyland, at the end of the night, you're tired, yet very happy. I still sat there just staring at both of them in awe as my eyes filled up with happy and angry tears. I felt a split starting to run up to my face and my chest started puffing up and down. It was then when I was no longer filled with sadness but with rage. I wanted to scream at him and let him know how I felt about his actions. How could he have been so damn selfish? Did he not think twice about his family? About me? I took a big breath in order to calm down. I couldn't see how these things right now. I needed to let some time pass so everyone could recover from this. Little did I know that I was going to hold all of that anger inside of me for 2 whole years. And when I was in the driver's seat of the car, while Gio sat on the seat next to him, while my mom and I were in the back, we were finally going back home together, a stronger family. Stronger because whenever we all fall down, we find a way to get back up together.